Imagine being more offended by the word illegal being used to describe an illegal than an illegal murdering an American citizen. Better yet, just imagine being a liberal, which is terrifying enough. The show starts now.
Megan Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals?
Use the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Lakin Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented.
So besides the obvious outrage here at the fact that Joe Biden is apologizing for offending a murderous illegal alien, there's more to this I think is important and maybe overlooked. So when Joe was angry and off script, his real and uncoached thought and reaction was to refer to one of his very own precious migrant dreamers as what he is, an illegal. What this tells me and further reinforces in my mind is what I've been saying and warning about for years now. These Democrats do not care about these people, not even a little bit. They regard them as fruit pickers and landscapers and housekeepers and cheap labor. They entice them across our borders, knowing damn good and well many will be assaulted, raped, or trafficked along the way, knowing damn good and well they've paid and funded cartels and criminal organizations in Mexico and China. Democrats and liberals don't revere these people. They are nothing but pawns and future Democrat voters. Joe and co. truly view illegal aliens as numbers, as mail-in ballots, as a safety net to keep Democrats winning elections in perpetuity. And Joe's initial and angry blurting out of the label illegal just proves that point. But he wasn't wrong. Jose Ibarra is an illegal alien, and so are the millions more like him that crossed the border between ports of entry and have broken the law. 8 U.S. Code 1325, to be exact, and are described thereafter as illegal aliens in the country without a lawful basis to be here. Now, some, like Jose Ibarra, will break more laws once they're let in. Some will murder and rape and steal, and some won't. Some will just live and work here. But they are all illegal aliens. That's not based on their race or their origin or their religion or anything else. It is based solely on the actions they took to bust into this country illegally, Joe's invite or not, it doesn't matter. And Democrats know that. Joe knows it, but they clutch their pearls and act like they revere these people when in fact they are simply using them as a means to an end. So save your sanctimony and your self-righteousness, liberals. You are completely full of it. Joining me now with his take on this and much more is Breitbart editor-in-chief and author of Breaking Biden, Alex Marlowe. Alex, it's great to see you. Now, obviously, people are still, as I mentioned, still very upset that some are upset that Joe Biden is apologizing to a murderer. Others upset that he used the word illegal. I think that the other side is absolutely full of it. I don't think that they're actually offended by the word illegal. I think they have to keep up the act to make it seem like they care about these people oh so much. But what's your takeaway from this whole debacle?
Yeah, language control is really important to the left. So they'll always try to do this where they tell you you can say one thing or you can't say this. It's just something that's so built in. Tommy, I went to a school called UC Berkeley, world famous for being one of the most left-wing places on the planet. And this conversation was constant when you're allowed to use the word illegal. These people are obsessed with this. This is like arguing scripture with an evangelical person. Like it's the same thing to them. This is their playbook for how they control the country is with this type of language. So do they care on this level? Probably not, but it is important for them to exert that control because they do feel like if they lose control of the language, then all of a sudden their whole structure just starts getting crumbly. So that's why they're pushing for this, but it is so unbelievable, even for someone like Joe, who's such a fraud in so many ways, that he feels like it's okay to mispronounce the name of Lakin Riley, but is not okay to say the word illegal when the person obviously is illegal. And that, to me, is something that hopefully sticks in people's minds when they go to vote in a few months.
I hope so, too. But I also think with all of this and the undocumented versus illegal, I think it's more about when you say the word illegal out loud out of a Democrat's mouth, out of Joe Biden's mouth, when he says the word illegal, that just makes our point. Hey, listen, the person you let in, an illegal, murdered a young girl. And so everything we've been saying about how these illegal aliens are going to come here and commit crimes, that the world is emptying its prisons into our country and doing it with quite an ease, quite obviously, I think they don't want to say the word illegal because then it's like, oh, yeah, you caught us. You're right. These people are illegal. They shouldn't be here. We let them in, and we have to own that. So I think when you call them undocumented, you can kind of skirt some of the responsibility for what you've done.
Yeah, and some of them actually are documented, so that word doesn't even work also, because when you have a regime like the Joe Biden one where they actually want people to come into the country, they're inviting them to come in, check in, claim asylum. Maybe they come back for their court hearing, maybe they don't. So some of them have some documentation, and we're not talking about their humanity. I feel like people think that you're calling a human being illegal. No, we're describing their legal status in the country, and they're not here legally. So what are we supposed to call them? Can we call them aliens? I mean, they are. That's the definition of it. Does that make you feel better for calling them aliens? So this goes to your point about how it is they're just playing games with us to try to get us distracted from the real problems in this country, which is that illegal alien is invading our country, are driving down wages, they're causing crime, they're going to eventually have family members, they're going to vote for Joe Biden and keep this whole system going. That's the problem here. And they don't want us to talk about that. They want us to talk about vocabulary.
Yeah, vocabulary. Speaking of vocabulary, there was a time when I think that the word police hit its peak, and that was 2020, or at least the regime started in 2020. But, you know, I tweeted about this morning, and some people got a little pissed off about it. But, you know, I was watching Fox News this morning, more documented cases of measles outbreaks in these migrant centers. You know, when these illegals leave their migrant centers, a lot of them, their children are going to go into U.S. schools around American students who have been vaccinated for measles and other, you know, diseases like that and other viruses like that. So I tweeted, hey, listen, you know, for 2 years, sometimes in some places 3 years, we were told that because of COVID, we couldn't go to weddings or funerals or graduations, couldn't go to work. We should stay in our homes because COVID was so bad and we can't spread it and we all have to get 5 vaccines, a booster. But now we've got people coming into our country that are spreading measles because they are not vaccinated or they are, you know, they came across unvaccinated for things like measles. And now we're not supposed to say that because then we're demonizing them. To me, that's a fact of the matter. They're coming in, they have measles, there's documented cases of measles outbreaks in these migrant centers. And I, as an American who felt like we should have never shut down for COVID, I find that really interesting that the science no longer matters.
Yeah, you're so right. It's such a great point. And think about, I'm just picturing all the mask performance art when I would walk my dog and people would pass me and they'd pull the mask up for 1 second while they walked the dog, and how we had to wear the mask in the restaurant only when we were walking to our table. And then we would sit down for an hour and a half with our mask off. Then we put the mask on. When we left the restaurant, like the virus was magically floating at head height. All of this stuff was such a joke. It's such a lie. And this is such a clear indication that it was such a joke and such a lie that we welcome people with diseases into the country. It's just a fact. If you look at the history of borders and the philosophy behind borders, keeping people out with communicable diseases, or at least knowing who's got the communicable diseases when they enter, is one of the main reasons to have a border. It is tip top, a number one reason why you need border enforcement is for exactly this reason. So, and all these people are such hypocrites with health. And where are all these people going to go? If they have children, they're going to go into the schools because we educate people, because that's what America does. They're going to go to hospitals because we take care of people. That's what we do. So they're just going to go straight into our system with their diseases. And Democrats they're not just fine with it. They love it. This to them is the America they want.
Right. Well, I just recently came back from a trip to Mexico, and I had to put in my name and address because they were still doing contact tracing for COVID-19. But, you know, people, you just come across the border. I mean, it's a free for all, as we know. I want to get back into a little bit of the State of the Union. You know, Katie Britt is taking a lot of heat for her performance. For those that haven't seen it, I want to play a clip and then I want to get your reaction. And maybe if you think people are overreacting, let's take a listen.
Your history has been written with the grit, of men and women who got knocked down. But we know their stories because they did not stay down. We are here because they stood back up. Because America, we don't just have a rendezvous with destiny. We take destiny's hand and we lead it.
Okay. Do you think the criticism is deserved?
I do. I don't think it was the message that is going to resonate with a lot of people. It's not the end of the world to me. These are very, very hard to be productive in this setting. This is a really crap assignment to have to do the State of the Union response. I'm a little concerned when you start seeing people like the Mitt Romneys of the world raving about it. Because I'm a journalist, I've got my ear to the ground. I know the political establishment, the Republican Party did like it. But I think overall, we are on a war footing with the Biden administration. He hates the Donald Trump voters. He hates people in this country who do not fit into the Democrat, one of the Democrat voting blocks that he can move around and mobilize to support the causes that he has. So, Tommy, to be honest, I would have preferred a tone like your tone, where you come in fighting and start from that footing. And if you want to throw in some jokes and you want to have a setting that's more of a home-like environment, it didn't work for me. Just saying that she's worrying. I mean, we're all worried. I want something tougher. I want Joe Biden is in many ways trying to undermine the fundamentals of this country, and he's doing so at a wildly effective rate, I'm sad to say, and Republicans are fired up for this year. I would have liked to have seen that. Now, do I have anything personal against Katie Britt? I don't care about Katie Britt. Mm-hmm. I just think in general, that's not the tone that's going to work this year.
There was Scarlett Johansson did an SNL spoof of it. I watched it. I gotta say, she did a pretty damn good job, and it was pretty funny, if I'm being honest. I think that Katie Britt did give a performance.
And Tommy, I feel the same way. I would come from Hollywood. I know someone who's been coached. She's been coached. She's acting. That wasn't natural. We're an authentic moment. And a lot of people texted me the Scarlett Johansson thing. I don't get texted a lot of SNL stuff and people saying, oh, this was funny. SNL was really on it. I was texted this quite a number of times. So it sounds like people are mostly on the same page here.
I feel like I also wish that the Republican establishment didn't feel the need each and every year with this to try to identity politics pick somebody, because I feel like that's what this was. And we've been doing it for a while now. As much as we criticize the left for doing it, it was like, okay, we need like an angry mom who's worried about her kids. That's the box we need to check here. Oh, yeah. Okay, Katie Britt can do that. I feel like, you know, why don't you have someone that's maybe just a better messenger, maybe that just speaks more authentically, maybe somebody who just tells it like it is, delivers the same spirit of the message, but maybe delivers it a little bit less as a caricature of what the angry mom is supposed to be. You know, that to me is what fell flat, because there are a lot of moms that are worried about their country and worried about their kids. But I just felt like this made it seem very like white faux outrage, and we're playing right into the hands of the left with that, as the SNL skit indicated to me.
We're never going to play identity politics as well as the left does, but I am finding it pretty amusing that Republicans are starting to do all the things that I grew up being taught by conservatives, by the type of people who wrote a National Review and the type of people who appeared on talk radio, that you never do this stuff. You never do the identity politics. You never condescend to the American people and think that we're going to be suckered into supporting something simply because they fit some sort of a demographic and have some sort of a tone that's very palatable for people. I was told my whole life that's not a good way to do politics, and now Republicans and conservatives are doing it. I detest it, and I hope it would stop.
I do as well. I want to talk a little bit more about Biden. You know, we're expecting the special counsel, her, to testify about that super, honestly, more damning than if he would have, you know, obviously had to face any repercussions for the classified documents. But I think probably more damaging was him being referred to as a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. I mean, I think that's incredibly damaging to Biden. But now Biden seems to be, or someone told him, hey, lean into your age. Everyone knows you're old. Bill Maher told him last week, hey, lean into your age. Everyone knows you're an old fart. Just be the old fart. So he is now doing that. He's put out new ads on social media and elsewhere, leaning into his elderliness. I want to play a clip and see if you think it's going to be effective.
Look, I'm not a young guy. That's no secret. But here's the deal. I understand how to get things done for the American people.
Can we do one more take?
Look, I'm very young, energetic, and handsome. What the hell am I doing this for?
So, you know, their best attempts at making it seem funny, poking fun at his age, do you think it landed with people that are concerned about his age?
I don't know, but if I were them, I think this is the right tactic. I think they're playing it well, and Republicans are falling into it. I've been recommending, and I know I have on your show, Tommy, so thank you for that, that this is not the right angle to take out Joe Biden. You take him out for being a mean, nasty guy who is destroying the country with his policies, who's created a Washington that is entirely pay for play, where whoever cuts the biggest check has the biggest seat at the table. All the stuff the Democrats claim that they hated, now they're the embodiment of it, as well as the Republican establishment as well. But hitting him from those issues, hitting him on the open border, hitting him on the Bidenflation, which he lied about during the State of the Union, saying it was going down, it's not. And it's these are the types of things that I think are going to resonate. Complaining about him being old and losing his memory has not worked in the past, and I'm seeing no indication it's going to work this time, but it has had the effect of lowering the expectations for Joe Biden to such a degree that he could give this super mediocre State of the Union where he's just yelling. Our front page of Breitbart, we called it Old Yeller. He's just sitting there yelling at people, and he's lying about his policies, can't stop lying. He's attacking Donald Trump, which would have been seen as totally uncouth in any other State of the Union. And instead, we're back on, is he senile? Well, clearly they can inject him with something and prop him up, and then he'll be fine for a day or two. And that's all that matters to base Democrat voters. So that's my big take on that one.
Well, we've discussed this before, and I know that you discuss it in Breaking Biden, but you've told me before that you think that Joe is actually playing into his forgetfulness, that he's actually not as far gone as he feigns to be, that you think that's part of the act, part of the game to excuse and justify some of his actions. It's obvious that he is declining, but you don't think it's as steep of a decline as maybe he's projecting, or you still feel that way?
Yeah, perfect way of putting it is exactly right. Of course, he's declining. He's super old. He's too old. I don't want to be president because of his age. Sure, of course. I just don't think that that's the most effective argument relative to how bad of a president he's been. And he is, of course, declining. He was never that sharp to begin with. But the point I make is the craziest stuff that I documented in a year and a half of research on him comes from the 70s and the 80s. Just absolutely bat guano level craziness. You will see that when he was just getting into politics. And that's why if you hear him say something crazy today, it really shouldn't surprise you.
Do you think he's going to be the nominee? I saw you tweeted about it last week. Now, I have maintained on the complete opposite side of that yeah. He will not be the nominee, that he will be replaced either at the convention or shortly thereafter, mostly because of his age and his decline. But you still maintain they're going to go with this guy. You think that's what they're going to do all the way through to November?
Well, I definitely do. And I think that the State of the Union was him sending a signal that you cannot push him off. And this is where I found was the most interesting, some of the most interesting content that I found about Joe on a personal level was he does see himself as a dynastic figure. He sees himself as someone who was born for the presidency and is actually greater than it in some degrees. That's the level of hubris he has. He thinks of himself as a Kennedy-esque figure who wants to be a kingmaker and someone to send out people to do his work on his behalf when he's done being president. So they're not going to be able to push him aside. I just don't see how it's going to happen. The more interesting thing here for me, Tommy, if I could put interviewer hat on, do you feel any differently after he was able to rally for the State of the Union and at least act like he's of sound mind and body for an hour?
No, because you can't do that every single day. You can do it for an hour here and there, but you can't do it every day. You certainly can't do it for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, however long he would last if reelected. I don't think they're going to take that chance, and I don't think that they want Kamala to take the reins. So no, I don't think so. I think that they're realizing that there's only so much they can do with this man. And I believe also they're seeing the polls and they're thinking, you know, we probably can still beat Trump with Biden, given we have the mechanics of elections down, but we don't want to take that chance. So I think that as much as people say, oh, you know, they would never bring someone in so late in the game, I still maintain that Gavin has been running a shadow campaign, so to put him in the place of Joe wouldn't be so out of left field and so untested that it would be just like this radical move to make. I think it would be more radical to put Joe Biden on that ticket and expect him to get reelected and expect him to last for 4 years, 2 years, 1 year, 6 months. I don't know. I just don't believe it.
Yeah, the point I want to make is I know we've been through this on your show, and I've been very grateful to have the platform to do it. I don't think they can push Gavin ahead of Kamala. That's the main problem here, because that will be seen as a faux pas in the culture war, and we're talking about all this identity politics. So I think that's a big problem. But I do think what's more interesting is I think Joe sent a real signal. You're not going to push me out. I'm not going to go quietly to the Democrat establishment. I think that's what's interesting. I'm not saying it's impossible. Couldn't happen. I don't think it'll happen. You do think it'll happen. But I am saying what was more interesting is Joe sent a very clear signal. I'm not going quietly. I've got a lot of fight in me.
I don't know on that Kamala point, and we could talk about this for another hour. But on the Kamala point, I agree with you. I agree with you that it would seem as though they had to pick Kamala for optics because they have to check a box. But I also look at Democrats, and they are much more shrewd, and they do what needs to be done to win. And if they offend people along the way and they outrage people along the way, I think that they're willing to do that if it means winning. So I think people would be upset on Twitter that they didn't pick Kamala, but I don't think that that would make Democrats go, oh, they didn't go with Kamala, who we don't like, who polls show us you don't like. Oh, now we're just so angry, we're not going to vote for Gavin now. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that Democrats always fall in line. They might be a little ruffled about it, just like they were ruffled that Biden said illegal. But when it comes down to it, they want to win, and they'll do whatever it takes. And if they feel like they can't win with Joe or Kamala, they're going to go to the person they believe can win. And I believe that's only Gavin Newsom right now.
Interesting. What do you make of the fact that they threw him out there? They were clearly poll testing him when he went to China and seeing how people were going to react to it. And then they pulled him back. And then now he's not doing as much public stuff. I found that to be very odd, because it did look like they were kind of doing a test run. And then it just stopped. They stopped doing any of those stunts.
Yeah, I think that it became too obvious that Gavin was going to be the nominee. So they had to pull it back because everybody's like, I mean, show all your cards. They can't show their cards yet. They have to keep up this appearance until they get to the convention or until right after the convention. They have to keep up with this charade so that Joe can still ramrod through whatever he needs to ramrod through in his remaining months. But I don't believe that Joe is going to be the nominee. And I believe Gavin is ready to go. And he's also sitting there like the good little soldier for Joe, because then it'll be an easier transition when they push Joe off the cliff into the nursing home. That's just my take on it. I know we've gone long. The last thing I want to ask you about is the debates. Now, I don't think that Joe's going to commit to debate him, because I don't think Joe's going to be the nominee. But do you think, because Donald Trump refused to participate in any debates, do you believe that that's going to give whoever the Democrat nominee is a way out from debating Trump at all?
Yeah, they're going to come up with any excuse. This is exactly to your point about how Democrats do what's necessary, which I think is a very solid point. I don't think it wins out, but I do think it's a very solid point with regards to who they would put up as the nominee. I think definitely here, they know having Joe debate is too risky, even though Joe somehow held his own, did much better against Trump in the two debates they had than Hillary Clinton did, which who saw that coming? Trump kicked Hillary's butt, and then Joe actually held his own at a much closer level, I think, last time. But no, it's way too risky. They're not going to let him debate. What excuse they use will be more interesting. I have no idea what they're going to say. Maybe they'll say Trump doesn't like democracy, or Trump wouldn't do this debate, or we got coronavirus today, or there's another, whatever it is, but they're not going to let him do it. There's no way. And there are already sending that signal. Chris Coons, who I think is chairing the campaign right now or is a big part of it, he was already indicating it's not going to happen. So I would bet big league that they are not going to have any debates. And that's sad, because I love them.
I can tell you the exact reason they're going to use. They're going to say that they're not going to give Donald Trump a platform to lie on national television, which is exactly why they pull away from his press conferences, his speeches. They've already used this excuse, and it's worked for them. So that's the same one they're going to use. Oh, we're not going to allow Donald Trump to lie and endanger migrants. That's what it's going to be. So, I mean, it's so predictable at this point. So predictable, but also such an excellent and unfortunately effective strategy for the left. Unfortunately, they seem to be much smarter than whoever is running our party. And that's really sad for me. But Alex, I always appreciate you. I know your book is obviously a smashing success. And for those that haven't read it, they definitely need to, especially leading up to this next election, Breaking Biden, available everywhere. Always appreciate you and Breitbart for all that you guys do. And please come back soon.
Tommy, thanks for the great discussion. I really appreciate you.
Talk to you soon. All right, folks. A teen girl is in critical condition after being beaten by another student outside of a St. Louis high school. Onlookers not only watched, but they recorded it. Our youth are lost, and I have some final thoughts. Young people in this country have lost their way. Look no further than this tragic and senseless beating of a teenage girl outside of her high school in St. Louis. Warning, the images you're about to see are disturbing, they're violent, and incredibly graphic. Warning number two, since the perpetrator is black and the victim is white, don't expect the mainstream media to touch this one. I guess the national media decided that horrific and violent assault didn't fit the narrative or the correct racial roles to be newsworthy. Imagine that. There will be no national outrage over this. There will be no protests or marches or looting sprees in the name of justice. And there's little hope the Soros-backed DA will go hard on this perpetrator because, again, it doesn't check the right boxes. But beyond the coverage or the lack thereof, there's more to discuss with this, and that's the nature and the state of the youth in this country. This brutal and violent behavior is not an anomaly anymore. It's become rather commonplace. You have to wonder, where are the parents? How could a teen girl be so violent and vicious and angry she could smash a classmate's head into the concrete repeatedly? This savage and feral behavior is sinister. It's demonic. And what's almost as bad are the bystanders who are so clearly apathetic and numb, they just watch it, cheer it, record it? How did we get here? Have we devolved into such a godless and indecent human race that we'd allow our young people to think this is okay? You know, kids aren't born this way. This is a learned and conditioned and taught behavior. So parents, keep in mind, if you are not parenting your kids and you are not teaching them right from wrong, they are learning how to act and behave and think and feel from someone or something else. And if you're not okay with that, start getting involved and annoyingly involved in your child's life because it might just save their life or someone else's. Those are my final thoughts from Nashville. God bless and take care.